On this edition of Slinky Slicker Pond Video, we bring you the heartwarming yet tragic tale of motherly love that spans four decades. And the saga of a brave woman fighting through grief by teaching young people a lesson they will never forget.
Welcome to Slinky's Liquor Pond and Video, and if you haven't checked your calendars, it is the 12th. Thursday the 12th. And we all know what that means.
What does that mean, kids?
It means it's Slinky's happiest day of the year. Yeah, he's excited.
It's going to be great. Just it's going to be spectacular.
For you.
I love it.
Yeah, for you. I'm going to have to watch, you know, the movie again.
Probably all of them. You should be easier when I was younger. Now I fall asleep after a few of them.
You know what? Yeah.
What?
No, nothing. It's fine. Because I'm going to have to watch them again anyway, no matter what.
Friday the 13th, kids. Holy shit.
This is just great. Thanks. Mm. Oh, God. Why this movie? Why?
Okay.
Why this one?
I like slasher flicks. Slasher flicks are the dance.
Okay.
Of horror movies.
That's great.
But it's revenge driven.
You're a sick bastard.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, a little bit.
There's a subgenre, or there's a genre, slashers.
Uh-huh.
There's a subgenre, revenge driven slashers. That's the juicy stuff.
You're going to have to get out a notebook or something for this shit?
No, well, maybe. I don't know. Because when they're wronged, they go and get theirs. They're owed a pound of flesh. And they go and get it. Deservedly so.
Okay.
This one I like on a whole nother level because, spoilers, kids, if you haven't seen it.
The movie's only like 40 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, it's, you know. It's a mother who lost her child. And oh God, does she make them pay.
I mean, she's, she's kind of a bitch. She is.
I don't know, man.
She's a creepy bitch in the movie.
Not at first. At first, pie, you know.
No.
We're getting way ahead of ourselves.
Sorry.
Friday the 13th. This is some of the creme de la creme of slasher flicks. If you have not seen this movie, I'm sorry. What the hell are you doing watching this? Pause this. Go watch the damn movie. Learn something. God.
Now.
Eye for an eye, bitches.
I never saw this movie until I was in my 20s.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Slacker. I think I was like 9.
Don't call me a slacker.
Slacker.
Horror movies were banned in my household.
Mm, poor person. Man, that stinks.
I had to sneak out to watch Gremlins.
Mrs. Voorhees was my babysitter in the
80s. That's weird.
It's so weird. I adore this movie. There's a lot of stuff that's wrong with it. Don't get me wrong. It's not a perfect film. But for what it does.
What is this, jazz hands?
It's Tasso's hairy knuckle hands.
That is the best part of the movie!
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You know. Oh, again, spoilers, kids.
All the hairy knuckles, supposedly, that is.
No, it is. It's Tasso Stavarkis.
No, I said, but supposedly it's Betsy Palmer.
That's
a manly...
With the toothpicks.
That is the manliest set of hands they could have found.
God, it's amazing. You know, again, for what they were doing, what they were working with, what they had, they pulled a rabbit out of the hat. They, you know, Tom Savini, Sean Cunningham, had worked with Wes Craven. There's a lot of good stuff about this movie, man.
Now... Obviously, everybody out there knows how much you love it.
Oh.
Based upon what we just saw. Jazz hands!
Laserdisc, kids, oh!
He doesn't have a Laserdisc player.
I got that from Tom Savini's niece.
Yeah, this is what I live with. Anyway, whatever.
I warned you.
Okay, this is not my favorite Friday the 13th movie.
What? Blasphemy! I love Jason Voorhees, don't get me wrong. The whole thing is tragic. The whole thing is tragic. Her son drowns in 1957.
Yeah.
Then when she's dispatched, I guess he sees it. So then Jason Voorhees, goes on a killing spree to avenge his mother. It's whacked out. What's not to love about that? Ooh, eye for an eye.
I think it probably has a lot to do with the fact that I didn't see it until I was in my 20s. That's probably a big part of it.
All right.
It's kind of okay, that's probably a big part of it.
Kevin, the Baconator? The Baconator? Woo!
And the fact that I got to meet, you know, Adam. Because then, now.
We both met Adam. I know. Adam Marcus.
So, like, 9 is now my favorite.
I love part 9. I don't care if you like it or not. Hi, Adam. If you talk smack about Jason Goes to Hell, I will fight you.
Yeah, I like that. I will, too.
Adam Marcus, you're the man.
We do love you. But yeah, no, this one I don't get because, okay, hang on. No, I will say I don't get it. This one is like crazy stupid. Okay. No,
nice.
No. No, the guy that's running the camp.
Steve Christie.
Holy shit.
He's a creeper. He's
you
a creeper.
Think?
And there's some kind of weird.
With him and Alice?
I don't even want to know what they were doing the night before when. You draw this?
Oh, this is what I look
this
like?
This is what I look like? You did last night. I don't know what the hell they were doing. I don't care.
No.
Sounds...
It's the cut-off jean shorts.
No shirt. And he's wearing a neckerchief. Yeah.
That...
Get over here, homie, this stump.
Fucking Steve Christie. That is like the most epic outfit I've ever seen in my life. That's like a Village People
he's
kind of thing.
He's got the sweat socks on. He has two dose pairs of sweat socks. Gray and red. The 80s, man. It's 1980. They shot the movie in 79. They released it in 1980. So you're talking, it's the end of the 70s where nobody knew what the hell they were doing. And we're going into the 80s. No. Miami Vice and pastels hadn't, you know, everywhere.
Yet.
So.
Yeah, but this is like.
Plaid, lumberjack plaid is all over this flick.
Yeah, but Christie's outfit in this thing, an opening outfit, I swear to God, that looks like something like Mr. Slave. From South Park would be women in the 80s. Yeah. You know, it's
bad. Anyway, so Steve Christie's kind of a creeper.
So,
well, no, that's...
That was one
we
thing
have to start at the very beginning. 1958. Two counselors are dispatched. What are their names? Barry and Claudette. They're killed in the boathouse.
Mm-hmm.
While the other counselors are singing Tom Dooley.
Yeah.
Smart, because there's noise. Can't hear the screams. Then you fast forward. Now, in the movie, it says 1980. But it's not. It takes place in 1979. Anyway.
Really? 79?
You know what?
Why 79?
Because there wasn't a Friday the 13th in June in 1980. Pretty sure. It doesn't matter. It's a movie. It's a movie. Fictional characters.
Yes, I know.
Anyway.
Nothing has to make sense.
Girl comes walking into town, goes into the restaurant, needs a ride to Camp Crystal Lake. Camp Blood? They open in that place? Here comes the backstory from the Yoka locals.
Yeah.
So good. Then we meet the Harbinger. This is one of the first slasher movies that had a Harbinger.
And his name is...
Crazy. Ralph. He's awesome. Going to Camp Blood, ain't ya? Love it, dude.
You know what's funny, though?
Yeah.
Okay, it's supposed to be in New Jersey, right?
It's
set in New Jersey, and it's filmed in New Jersey, right?
Hopeful time.
Okay, the Harbinger was saying some creepy Maine shit. The way he was saying shit.
The way he talks.
The way he talks. It's like creepy Maine shit.
Well, yeah, even part 2, they shot that in Connecticut. On the cheap.
Going all the way up there,
yeah. Yeah. Out in the woods, huh?
Yeah. Like I said, creepy Maine shit.
Typhama. Space, the final failure. Anyway, chick gets a ride.
Mm-hmm.
Enos, it's cool, local, you know, drives like, I think it's a septic tank, it's a pumper truck, something like that.
It's an oil delivery truck.
No, I need glasses, all right?
Yeah, you do.
Drives her part of the way to mm-hmm. Crystal Lake. Starts talking about the backstory. Steve Christie, he's been up there a year. Trying to fix that place. He's going to end up just like his parents. Broke and crazy. Or crazy and broke.
Mm.
Boy drowned in 57. The two counselors, 58.
Mm.
Then there were some fires. Then in the 60s, I think 62, he says, the water went bad.
So it's like poisoned water?
Poisoned water. Okay. You know.
So no one can be at the camp.
yeah, you can't go in the water, you know, mm-hmm. it's a camp. And so then it was shut down, I think, for 17 years. Nothing, nada. Nothing.
And then this wackadoo, Christy.
All right. Steve's parents owned the camp. They mm-hmm. established it in 1935.
Okay.
So he's, you know, took $25,000 to reopen Camp Crystal Lake. He hires some inner city kids. Inner city kids.
No one's going to miss them.
To come help him spend, I think it's like 2 or 3 weeks reopening the camp, getting it ready for the little shits. And isolated teenagers. Mm-hmm. That slasher fodder right there. That's 101 right there. And then the first kill happens. Boom! We just get right into it, man. Love it. Love it. No BS, no nothing. Da-da-da-da-da. They establish the story. They tell you what's going on. Mm-hmm. Jeep pulls up, picks up Annie. Really quiet. Then they go past the road to Camp Crystal Lake. Annie leaps from the Jeep, and it's, all right, it's a murder mystery. Because one of my favorite authors is Agatha Christie. Mm-hmm. I love her stuff. And, It's just a murder mystery. Just do. There's beats, you know. Boom! Throat slit. What the hell? She didn't even make it to the camp. I keep going with this. It's such an awesome flick, man. You know.
Oh, we fast forward a little bit.
Oh yeah, because there's some awkward, clunky dialogue. There's talk of a snake clone.
There's a lot of BS in this movie.
And what's funny is Kevin Bacon, this is his first movie? Or
I don't think it's his first, no.
All right. Well, Kevin Bacon. At this point, he's the draw. You know, he's one of the draws.
Actually, what they touted is Bing Crosby's son.
Bing Crosby's son is in this. Mm-hmm. Nah. It's whatever. He doesn't stand out. You know? At least the Baconator. Baconates in this, you know.
He
baconates.
What the hell is that?
I don't know. I just made it up. God, he's on my shit. Anyway, that's a real famous kill. Spoilers. Because the arrow, you know, and I guess there was a mess up during the kill. The hose popped off. So Tom Savini's underneath, and he's like, pump the fucking blood, man. Pump the fucking blood. So his assistant's like, and so you see some blood come out, and all of a sudden this giant spurt happens, and the Baconator's like, and it's great, man.
He's Baconating.
He's Baconating. No, he finished Baconating.
Is that what happens when you're done?
Anyone to wash up. And one of the cool things about Tom Savini, he does the special effects, mm-hmm. the kills, you know.
Right.
One thing he does, and you can, literally every movie he does this in, at least once, he'll take a solid object, okay, mm-hmm. axe, mm-hmm. and what he'll do is he'll hit it on something, against a door, whatever, in the scene.
Yeah.
That lets you know this is a solid object.
It establishes what you're looking at.
It's an axe, man.
Proves to you.
Yeah. And then in the very next cut, it's buried in somebody's face. So you're just kind of like, ooh.
Because then it mentally establishes this is a weapon. This is you know going to hurt someone.
Yeah, it's you know lethal.
So you believe his effect in the following scene.
Plus, he does a lot of misdirection, and like I said, I don't call him an effects guy. He's a magician.
he's sleight of hand, misdirection. Love
Tom's. Yeah, Tom, you're the man.
There's something that there's two things actually that's kind of cool about Tom Savini in this movie. Mm. I mean, outside of his effects and everything, there's the arrow scene.
With Brenda. Yeah.
She's setting up for the...
When the kids get to camp, mm-hmm. she's carrying an archery target, you know, and the arrow comes in. It's like, oh, holy shit.
That shot was actually taken by Tom Savini.
Tom Savini, yeah.
Absolutely.
I guess he was good at archery, and then another movie, he's good with a bullwhip, so they wrote that in the script.
You know what? Man of many talents.
Tom Savini.
And then the other...
Sex machine. Dusk Till Dawn.
I know. You just like saying it. That's all it is. And finger guns. That's what he likes.
He's got a cock gun.
Anyway.
Because if you're going to kill vampires, you're going to use a cock gun.
The other thing that Tom Savini added into the movie was the snake scene. Because that was actually...
He had a snake in his cabin.
Yeah, a snake in his cabin.
And it wasn't his cabin.
Because they were staying in the camp while they were filming.
They made, what was it you said? They made a considerable...
They made a sizable donation to the Boy Scouts of America.
And this is an active Boy Scout camp, Camp Nobibosco.
It is.
It's still... And they're milking it.
Oh, yeah, they are.
They're very aware of their Friday fame. Because you can go there and buy sand.
Because that... Yeah, how much does it cost to do stuff?
Well, I think it's once a year. Mm-hmm. They let the camp open to so many. They come up with so many tickets, mm-hmm. and they raffle them off. They bid them, and the guy Tommy I know,
he did it, didn't he?
I want to say it was like $2,000 per ticket.
It was a lot.
Yeah, and him, his girlfriend, and him went. He cosplays as Jason there, so that's really cool, man.
Yeah, so once a year, Camp New Biscuit, they open up for whack jobs like him to go run around the camp and relive these little fantasies. Bunch of freaking weirdos.
Wackadoos. In the woods, you know.
Running around. Mm-hmm.
And then they stream the movie on the side of a cabin, and you get bit up by bugs, and it's
wonderful. You know something? I can barely handle you. Mm. I really don't know if I could handle an entire camp.
Oh, Lord.
Full of dudes like you.
I don't know.
I might kill someone.
And there's ladies too.
I get it, but I might hurt someone. Mm. I might be the next Pamela Voorhees. Sorry.
My family met her at Macy's.
Yeah, but you didn't, did you?
Well, I don't see. I was little. I don't know if I was with them or it doesn't matter. But my family met Mrs. Voorhees and lived.
You named the freaking cat Pamela.
Pam.
I locked her in the other room.
Well, she's a psycho. All right.
God. She is. Yeah, she's not right.
I gotta get her a blue sweater.
Thought about doing that.
Okay. Anyway.
That's her new costume.
You know, they're just, the kids are disappearing. Brenda goes to bed. They play Strip Monopoly.
Who plays Strip Monopoly? I wanted to ask this question because Monopoly games go on for freaking ever.
I don't know.
That's like the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Well, it's funny because Harry Crosby, he's losing big time. I think so. Yeah, he's down to his skeevies, I think. I don't know. Oh, I don't look at him. I look at Brenda.
And, I know. You know.
Brenda, what's up? She passed away in real life. That's a shame. Yeah. She was the only one. No, it doesn't matter.
Okay. So they're playing Strip Monopoly, all this other stuff, which is, like I said, dumb.
I'm going to go check the generator. Doesn't come back. But Alice finds him pinned to the door like a note from Robin Hood. It's amazing. And again, Tom Savini effect. He had arrows coming out of his eye, out of his pee hole. Just... Amazing.
How do you know it was out of the people?
I don't know. I was trying to be funny, but you killed my fucking joke. Hey. Is it... just like that. Oh, cold-blooded.
I take great pride in that.
Asshole.
Okay, go on.
All right. So, you know what's going on, you know. And then Steve Christie left him because he's like, I gotta go back to town. He's farting around in a diner. Then it starts raining. He hitches a ride with the cop. The cop gets a call, and he's like, get the fuck out, man. So he's tromping through the woods. Then you see Christy walking through the woods. Flashlight hits him. Ah, what are you doing out in this mess? He obviously knows who that is.
Obviously.
And this one used POV just, oh, man, everywhere. Mm-hmm. It was spraying POV all over the place, man. You know, just like you read about. Doesn't matter. Steve gets dispatched.
Right.
You don't really see him. Whatever. And the music's off the chain, man.
It's Manfredini, right?
Harry Manfredini. We can't say the well, we can say what it sounds like. That's the Jason.
What is it really?
Not yet. Steve gets dispatched. Or you're pretty sure he gets this.
It's implied that he is quite dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that mustache is moving, boy.
He's not coming back. The mustache might, but he's not.
Anyway. Alice is the only one left. Okay. Somebody throws Brenda's body through the cabin window. And she's all roped up like a jacked up Christmas present.
Now, I've always wanted to ask this question. Okay.
We're getting there. We're getting
there. Wait. What I didn't understand is like, okay, obviously when you watch the movie, you know exactly who the killer is. After you watch the movie. Tossing a body, I think, might be a little beyond her capabilities.
Okay, hold on.
Physics.
You've suspended your disbelief up to this point. All right?
But physics don't apply. That's all I'm going to say.
She's out for hers. Okay, anyway. It's Brenda! Alice goes tearing on it. And Jeep comes pulling up. But it's dark and you can't see the color.
Okay.
And you see this lady get out of the Jeep. And you're like, who in the... Huh?
In that blue...
In that crazy blue sweater. That's the first thing you see, is the blue sweater. And you see her blonde hair. Mm-hmm. Who are you? I'm Mrs. Voorhees. An old friend of the Christies. So for... Now there's two people that are probably going to get killed. Oh, great. You know.
Guess got another one.
Oh my God. They're all dead. Oh, calm down. You know, the motherly nurturing thing. She's...
This is a slasher flick. That's a nurturing mother.
We're getting to the money shot, man. We're almost there. It's the end of the slasher flick. The last, like, 15 minutes of slasher flicks are always... That's the hot sauce. Anyway. Her name is Pamela Voorhees. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a creepy name. You know.
Really? You think it's creepy?
They're all dead. Oh. I'll go have a look. No! They'll get you too! I'm not afraid.
That should have been your first
clue.
That's
it, right there. That's the giveaway when she says, oh, I'm not afraid. And she says it like she's ordering a pizza. So, shit, start. The boat's listing, man.
We're going down.
All hands on deck. Oh, that didn't sound good. All right, anyway, it doesn't matter. Then she starts, they weren't paying any attention. Did you know two kids were killed in 58?
The year before
the young boy drowned.
This is like the total psychotic break.
They weren't paying any attention. She starts going on this shit where you're, what is she? Oh, they weren't paying. And it like rips her out of reality of what's going on. And she has, what is that, psychotic break?
Psychotic break.
Visual.
And auditory.
Yeah, at the same time. Like, pincushion. Filling all the slots. And it, at the same time. Then you see what she's seeing. And you hear what she's hearing. And it's her son. Her son drowning.
Her special boy.
They weren't paying any attention.
And what were they doing?
They were making love. He had to be watched. Loses her shit. You can see her eyes go black. Then she goes after Alice. Alice, you know, just smacks that bitch right up. She falls on the ground. And it's kind of funny because Mrs. Voorhees was just dispatching mofos like the Terminator.
Looking right.
But again, it's the end of the movie. She knows she's the last one. She's probably toying with it.
Probably taking a little easy.
Chicks are evil.
So Alice takes off, right?
Yeah, she runs. Bolts out of the cabin like she's got diarrhea.
Where's she going?
Here's the thing that I always thought was funny. Even when I was 9 watching this movie for the first time, all right? Mrs. Voorhees used to work there. She just told her she used to work there. Where is this chick going? You know, it doesn't matter.
Aren't they like a geological odyssey, like 10 miles from everywhere?
The camp's 10.
Yeah. I like that, huh?
They're 10 miles from anywhere. Nobody's coming. Nobody knows they're in distress. The generator's busted, so it's all dark, you know.
So you can't see, you can't get anywhere. It makes no sense.
It's like the chick in Fargo that runs outside with a bag on her head. She can't see where she's going. You know, that's...
Yeah.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Mrs. Voorhees, boom, right on her ass. But she stops at the door. And here's where shit goes nutty, like some squirrel turds. She starts talking like her dead kid. Get her, mommy. Get her. Don't let her get away.
Batshit crazy.
Woo! I never understood this. So Mrs. Voorhees is on Seek and Destroy, right? Mm-hmm. She's looking by the docks. Then they do it again. But they do a close-up of her mouth, and it's like, don't let her survive. Da-da-da-da-da. Fucking nut job, man. Like, ooh. Alice, I guess she thinks she's like, you know, John Rambo. She doubles back and comes back to the cabin. Barricades a door that opens out. It's got charm, so shut up. I will fight you over this movie.
Quality filmmaking.
She's putting like detail. She's putting like the coffee pot and, you know, the dream catcher. And
meanwhile, it's all.
And she's got a rope, like, dope on a rope. It doesn't matter. The door opens out. She hides in the food pantry.
Better than a fridge.
Oh, God. Madman. Doe-eyed makeup chick.
That's still better.
That's hysterical. That's a story for another day. Anyway, guess who comes back?
Shocker.
Yeah. Shocker. She shows up. It don't take no genius. She knows the camp. She used to work there, for fuck's sake. Finds her in the pantry. And there's a really cool scene that Betsy Palmer owns it, dude. She owns crazy like a mofo. Hacks this giant hole in the door, just enough to stick her. And she's... There's times when I watch this movie, I'll rewind that part, like, just a couple times to watch it. Because I'm like, this bitch is batshit. Like, she's legit
crazy.
Re-entering the Earth's atmosphere in a refrigerator box.
That was a good joke.
Just woo! So they rustle, tussle around the couch, blah, blah, blah. They bust outside. Again, they end up on the beach of the lake. Right? Well, no.
Yeah.
Mrs. Voorhees is going after this chick with a machete, okay? Yeah. Screw the buck knife. Screw, you know, the wood whittling tools. She's going after this chick like a Mexican drug dealer.
She needs business.
They rustle tussle again. Mrs. Voorhees gets on top of her, and she's smashing this chick's face in the ground like two bitches fighting over a lipstick dude. Then, they roll over. It's kind of a blur, you know? This chick wants this bitch dead. She blames her for her kid dying, okay?
Which makes no sense.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter in Voorheesville. Anyway.
Christown.
Alice gets the machete. Then you hear the music, and the film slows down. Because you see Alice running up on her, like Reggie. I don't even know where I was going with that. Just, it's kind of like, creepy, like a stalker.
Yeah.
Bam, 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 bum, 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 bum. And you hear this real meaty chalk.
Yeah.
Like, pop. And you see these hairy knuckle hands. Tassos Tavarkius, you're the man. Reaching for her head. That's not there. It's a great effect. It really is.
That's probably one of Savini's better ones.
It's Tom Savini, man. I mean, the guy's cool. A magician. I love it. And, holy crap, dude. Holy crap. She just cut that bitch's head off. Then she drops the machete next to Headless McGee, grabs a canoe, and then just mosey on out until it. At this point, you kind of figure, man, it might be the safest place, because if anybody is coming to get you, you're going to hear them.
Yeah.
You know, anyways, out in the middle of the lake. Well, it's morning, right?
Yeah.
And there's this really pretty music playing. Like, dun, dun, dun. You see Helmet Head in the canoe. And you can tell she's probably still in shock, because she saw, you know, her inner city kids, her friends.
All
hacked up like some firewood. You see her in the canoe, and she's touching the water.
Now, to me, that's a psychotic episode, too.
Yeah, she's still in shock. She's just kind of like, what's going on? What is it? Anyway, then her point of view happens, and you see the sheriff come pulling up. The local sheriff, who ain't got a fucking clue. This fat bastard rolls out of the car, and he's standing there, and you know, he's way in the distance, way, way yonder. Then they show Alice again, and she's all, and then you see this crazy little kid covered in mud with this giant hydrocephalic head.
Yeah.
Like John Merrick Elephant Man stuff, yeah. You know. Jump out of the fucking lake and
and
that, it, it and that's the jump scare, because the music's real misleading, and absolutely, you know, it's real serene and calm.
We think we've already reached the end.
You think you're at the end of the ride.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, oh man, all right, cool. All right, cool. Smoke a cigarette. I can tell this chick I'm going to the store. Anyway, she's in the hospital. Wakes up.
Oh my God.
Steve, put your hand down my pants. What happened to the boy?
What boy?
The local yokel. He's a fine boy. Which is something, that says something, because he's the local law enforcement. And he's not aware of any local legend or, you know.
Right.
I don't think he drowned. Anyway. Well, then he must still be there. Straight up. That's a screenshot. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The end. What in the fuck just happened?
I got a question. I got questions. I got questions.
They all have questions.
Okay. I watched this movie with you. Absolutely.
My shit.
Because if you're gonna watch a movie with anyone, this is the guy.
I make them fun, man.
Never a freaking dull moment.
No.
Ever. You might want to shoot yourself when you're done, but no, you've never a dull moment.
Listen, nobody goes all night with a movie like this Link. Oh, I can't believe I said that.
No one turns Night of the Living Dead into a four-hour adventure. No one does that but him.
All greasy. Anyway. You know, that place is a sod farm now.
After hearing you say that one more damn time, I might hit you. Anyway, the big question I have about this, and it's my only question I will ask. Jason supposedly died.
In 1957. He drowned.
Drowned.
But they never found his body.
But it's a child that pops up out of the lake.
That's the thing. It's like, it's a little kid that jumps out of the lake.
Shouldn't he be a little older?
He should be fat, living on his mom's couch, jumping out of that lake. He should be all like, where are the Doritos, bitch? And grab fucking out. It's like I said, you have to suspend your disbelief. It was a bunch of wackos camping in the woods, and they're like, hey, let's make a movie. I got a chinchilla. Tom Savini had a chinchilla.
But whether you like this movie, don't like this movie, it really doesn't matter, because tomorrow, it's Friday the 13th.
Yeah!
And in pop culture, it's pretty much obligatory that you have to watch one of these films.
At least one of them. There's 12 to choose from, so, you know, but this is the Bad Mama John.
This is your favorite. Yes. This is your choice. Yes. So I know I will be subjected to it once again. But, like I said, it's Friday the 13th. Spooky. Woo!
Slinky fact?
Oh, God. It doesn't matter if you want to hear it or not, folks. It's going to say
you're
it.
You're going to hear it. All right. Friday the 13th is always associated with superstition, you know, black cats, bad luck, stuff like that. It's from the Knights Templar when King Richard sent them out on the Crusades, you know, in the Holy Land. Okay. Anyway, it doesn't matter. That's all changed now because of this movie. This movie has forever altered it. Now, Friday the 13th will forever be associated with a camp in New Jersey, a mother avenging her son.